Don't go. AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome to Checkpoint AFK on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. This is Checkpoint AFK's lifestyle show. From consoles to cosplay, we cover everything you care about when you're away from your keyboard. Joining me today, we got a full studio, Joe Sloan.
What up?
You know, I don't know your last name. I am so sorry, Nicole. Nicole, what is...
Okay.
I'm sorry, wow. Nicole, what is your last name?
We're only every day.
I know. I'm a terrible person.
Can I get my drops up here, please?
No, you can't, because you're going to make fun of me with them.
Yes.
I only follow you on social. It's fine.
It's Bossio.
It's Bossio.
Bossio, thank you.
It's
Nicole,
because she's the boss, yo.
It should be Nicole Bossio, shouldn't it?
Yeah, right. Nicole Bossio is joining us today. Our special guest, Robbie Landis, is in studio. Chad Callahan and Norris Howard. So we got more than a full crew.
Yeah.
We've actually got more people than microphones today.
That's true.
So
I'm gonna dip out in a minute because I got shit to do.
Yeah. So we're gonna get to Chad's little challenge here in just a moment. But we have a tradition here on Checkpoint AFK.
Right.
We like to start this show off reading some Apple Podcast reviews.
Do we have any?
We do.
Yes.
We have two.
Well done, everyone.
Good job. But it's only two.
That's so true. It is only two.
You know what we got?
Are these two new ones?
Are they names you blatantly recognize?
They are absolutely names that
okay,
I recognize.
Because we've snuffed, who was it? I think it was, Von Slamstone the past two times. And he comes to me every time and he's like, thanks for not reading my review again.
Okay. We snubbed him.
We did not snuff him.
There's a
that
big
is different.
There is a big
Sorry,
difference.
That's a different
snuffing.
YouTube channel.
Yeah. That's the dark web.
And it's going to get banned.
Yeah.
Actually, we absolutely read Von Slamstone's
did we?
Review.
Did we? Read it last week?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, well,
he wasn't here last week.
I wasn't here last week. I was doing the other identity.
Exactly.
So. There you go, Von. Stop sending messages to me complaining about it.
So this week's Apple Podcast review comes to us from Reverse Gremlin. Now, I know Reverse Gremlin's name. I don't know if they've left us a review before.
I don't think so.
So, Reverse Gremlin, we appreciate the time that you've taken to go to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review, and we would hope that the rest of you listening out there would go and do the same. But the review coming to us today from Reverse Gremlin is a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Obviously.
The best kind of review.
What other review could you give?
And the title is Clever Title. Good job. Nice.
Yeah, nice. Excellent. Nailed it. I appreciate your movie title reference.
10 out of 10, would recommend.
Reverse Gremlin says, love the new format. A great banter-filled roundup of geek-related topics. I can't wait to see what comes next for the Checkpoint XP crew as they expand in 2020. Thank you, Reverse Gremlin.
Very nice.
Very
I like it.
Straight ahead, but honest review. We appreciate those here at Checkpoint XP.
Who's the second one?
Well, do we want to burn both of them today? I mean, what happens if we don't?
We got guests. We need somebody to hear all the good stuff people say about.
What happens?
I work with you guys.
Yeah, I think she sees it.
I see your social media.
Yeah. What happens? What happens next week when we do the show and
we shame people. Like we always do.
Nicole writes us a really great review is what happens.
And these people that are listening to this go write a great review. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Our second review comes to us from Steve OK Cape Cod.
Oh, that's a name I recognize.
Yes, he has left. He has definitely left a review before.
It is Steven. Oklahoma Cape Cod.
That's right. Steve OK Cape Cod.
There's no capes in Oklahoma.
He has left us a 5-star review, and the title of his review is Steve.
Also a clever title.
Steven. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. He says, this show is awesome. That's all. You need Apple Music reviews. Lol.
I thought his review was also going to say Steve.
Steve! I would also appreciate that.
You missed an opportunity, Steve. Anyway, thank you, Steve, OKK Cod, and Reverse Gremlin for their reviews here on Checkpoint AFK. Coming up today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Disney.
Hell yeah.
What's your favorite movies? What's the worst Disney movie? Who's your favorite characters? Who are the most underrated characters? We're going to talk about all of that coming up today on Checkpoint AFK. But I've got an interesting tonic sitting in front of me.
All right, so what is this, Chad? You need to explain this because you told us
that we would have a shot challenge here.
Was that the game? I don't think I like it.
I was at the store. All right, so I didn't prep this. No, this is actually downstairs
in the vending machines, I think.
Oh, no. This wasn't. I went to the store yesterday, and that brand is, but not this flavor. But anyway,
I went to the store and I just happened upon this, and I was like, yes. We're going to deal with this.
I gotta tell you, I find it weird that you said yes, because I saw the flavor and went, no.
Well, that was exactly the reason why I said yes, because y'all would say no.
All right, so tell them.
The flavor, it's called Rain Inferno. It's that the energy drink.
Yeah.
But it's jalapeno strawberry.
I already don't drink energy drinks, so like this ain't going to go
bad. Yeah, I like the can.
First of all, the can is well designed. Here's the most interesting thing. There is very much so a disclaimer on this can. Recommended only for persons 18 years or older.
I don't know if that's just a general thing that they have to do now for energy drinks.
Thermogenic ingredients may increase metabolic energy levels to produce heat, which may burn calories in combination with exercise and a healthy diet. You may spontaneously combust after drinking.
If you're just a foot after this, I'm sorry.
Will this give me a heart attack? That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So on my Monster can, it says, consume responsibly, not recommended for children, people sensitive to caffeine, pregnant women, or women who are nursing.
Okay.
So, I mean,
it doesn't say in big black letters, 18 years or older.
That's true. That looks like a cigarette label. Like, honestly.
That's pretty pronounced right there. Are we going to see, like, a picture of, like a deformed, like, stomach or something on there? That looks like a weird...
Let me tell you something, because with jalapeno flavor, they absolutely should provide that. Really, with any like Flamin' Hot, any of that. I once bought a big bag of white cheddar popcorn.
Yeah.
You know the brand that I'm talking about, right? And it was Flamin' Hot white cheddar popcorn. And over the course of a weekend, I ate that entire bag. Mm. I'm not going to tell you how many hours it took me because it was less than 24.
Over the course of a day, he ate that entire bag.
For your intestines or your teeth?
A combination of both.
The verdict is still out on that. I have a dentist appointment next Friday, yeah. So I could let you know.
Okay, great.
I'm thinking it was my stomach because I have had unreasonable levels of acid reflux ever since then, mm-hmm. And I think it might have given me a small ulcer.
Yeah. How long ago was this?
I don't know, maybe six weeks ago.
Okay, bad. Go to the doctor.
Yeah. No.
We're still getting used to having insurance.
Yeah, that's true.
This stuff Fair smells enough. Like floor cleaner.
I did say it smelled like lemon. Now I smell the hot.
Oh,
now
it smells like hot. Right? It smells horrible. I need a second to breathe. Yeah.
As one, like a good wine. As one who has worked in a recreation center, this smells exactly like what we used to buff the floors with.
But why does it look so thick? When they handed us the shot glasses, it's almost viscous.
Right?
Sugar. Yeah. When they handed us the shot glasses, it definitely smelled like lemony, like floor cleaner. It does now smell like jalapeno.
Did anybody, when they were younger, had those like little displays you could do where like you put the weird like goo in and the sand to create the sculptures in it?
Yeah, I remember that.
That's what this reminds me of for some reason.
What is it? Squiggle sand?
Squand.
I don't know what the hell it was called, but I remember it was awesome.
Yeah, I think it came under a couple of different names. Squand, squiggle sand.
Yeah, it wasn't wet when you take it out. Yeah.
Guys, so I did the time where I ate the Lunchables on the show. We did
the Impossible Burger.
We did the Impossible Whopper. That was actually good. Yeah, the Impossible Whopper was good.
So I've done things out of the... Things it's cloudy now, for sure.
That's what I was thinking. It looks like Sprite, but with clouds in it.
This is the first time where I've ever thought, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to drink this.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's go.
All right. One, two, three.
Ugh. Oh, God.
I don't hate it.
How do you not hate it?
I don't love it.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it was
going to be. The strawberry after note is probably the only thing saving it from
I'm going to say
it's not good.
No. Oh, my God. It's so bad.
You know what this tastes like? You know what this tastes like? It tastes like you've eaten an entire box of the Tabasco Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
And then chased it with like
a strawberry pop
Faygo. Yes.
Do you guys want me to wash it down with something?
No.
God.
No. I need floor cleaner to clean my mouth.
I'm
going to
be honest with y'all, man.
I'm getting water. One sec.
I'm going to be honest with y'all.
Ugh.
No. I didn't like it.
I didn't like it, but...
Ugh. I think with Robbie, that was, I thought
it
that was
reminded
be
me of Sprite Tropical Mix. That's what it reminds
yes
me of.
Yeah,
like Sprite Tropical
Sprite
Mix.
Sprite Tropical Mix.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yep.
Yes, that's exactly what it tastes like.
Yeah, I just get that strawberry note right there on the tongue.
Like,
I very much like feel like I just had a sucker, but like
I think
sucker.
What it needs, if they really want it to be more on brand, it needs more of the jalapeno. I didn't get to taste jalapeno.
I only got the very faintest note of jalapeno.
Every can should have a jalapeno in it.
Absolutely.
And no, then like, I was like, at first I smelled it. I was like, oh man, this is going to be hot and disgusting. And it kind of started smelling like vomit the more I was smelling it.
Okay.
And then I downed it and I was just like, oh, that's just a strawberry energy.
Yeah.
It's just sugar.
Yeah.
It's sugar.
The only jalapeno came from the smell. Like when you were smelling it from the shot glass itself.
This you is know, fucked it, up how thing science can do this.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes like if you burnt strawberry energy drink.
Yeah.
Okay,
All right. Now let's bring out the tequila.
Let's drink the worm.
Do we not get the tequila?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. I forgot it at home.
Damn it!
I got some in my desk.
Anyway, you guys are talking.
So
about
I just drank jalapeno strawberry for nothing.
Absolutely,
man. I gotta say the strawberry really lingers for a while.
Yes.
I still taste strawberry.
The strawberry is maybe the worst part of it.
Yeah.
Not what I expected.
Yeah, no.
Like, not what I expected at all.
I'll find just a jalapeno energy drink.
See,
and we'll test that.
See, now I would actually consider drinking them.
No.
This?
No. Oh. Just jalapeno energy drink.
Oh, I forgot you're.
I'm gonna make that.
Are you gonna drink the rest of the drink now, Chad?
Anyway,
I mean,
gross.
Oh no,
that's not okay.
I don't hate it. I don't. I mean, I don't love it. I'm just not.
The most downward shit I've
Oh, I mean, they do call us downriver rats for something. You know what I mean?
Anyway,
all right. Thank you, Norris. Appreciate it. So, yes, coming up today on Checkpoint AFK, we're going to talk about Disney and try to wipe this taste out of our mouths. That's coming up next here on Checkpoint AFK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com. checkpointxp.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK. Today, we're talking about Disney. Disney movies, mostly the animated variety, right? I think that's where we're going to focus mostly.
That's where we're going to start anyway.
Yeah, because this, we had sat down for lunch for Rick's birthday the other day.
Yeah, we're
Wednesday. Rick. He's busy. He's got work to do.
Yeah.
We shoved him in a corner. And
we have to keep him chained to his desk today.
So true.
And you know what? And even if we weren't keeping him chained to his desk today, we wouldn't have a microphone for him. He would have been like Norris and just, you know, buzzing around.
Had a drink and left.
Yeah, exactly. So,
to be honest, I'd have stepped out for him, but
stop
he's doing
drinking
owls
it, Chad.
That's really gross, dude.
You don't have to drink it.
Ugh. So, anyway, we got talking about Disney movies.
Yeah, I don't know how, but we did.
Yeah,
that's me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was all Nicole. That's which is why we had to bring her in.
I think it started talking about like the story of Toy Story 2 and how it almost got deleted.
No, it started with Frozen, didn't it?
We started with talking about what's the most overrated Disney movie. That's how it started.
Well, then let's start there. That seems like a good enough place to start.
Frozen.
You think Frozen?
You know what? I'm going to throw it out there right away. I'm agree.
Yeah, I agree. I love the movie. Don't get me wrong.
Look, our old friend Chris Juxtaposition had seen it 4 times in theaters.
That
was so hyped. This is before he had a child, by the way.
I forget that Chris was genuinely
hyped
on
it. He tried to get me to go and
too,
see it with him on Valentine's Day.
Romantic.
It was still in theaters then?
It
I know
was.
It came out in like the winter
it
of
was.
Like 2013.
Yeah. It had a long lifespan and got a lot of money.
But when I had finally seen it and it was over with, I'm just kind of like, was that it?
Really?
Like the songs, honestly, besides maybe Let It Go, weren't even really all that great.
I would agree with the songs,
Snowman?
Maybe. Well, that got annoying real quick, though.
Yeah, I will say it got over-memed, and then,
it did.
I think the movie's overrated just because of how popular it is.
Sure.
But, like, the film itself's not horrible.
Well, when I watched it, the thing that struck me about it was, like, you know what? It's really nice to not have, like, a traditional love story kind of crammed into the center of it.
And also a villain. I know that people hype up, like, the Disney villains almost as much as they do the Disney princesses, but what I think it does well for kids nowadays is it's so relatable because in real life you don't have a big bad that you're trying to defeat. You just have life and your problems
and some genuine and some bad people
and some bad people.
A bad person seldom means they're getting ready to take over the
world. And so the fact that it was just a story about two sisters just overcoming their own issues, that was fine.
But
I mean, you hold it up next to like classics like Aladdin or 101 Dalmatians.
That's the thing. A lot of people, first of all, take overrated to equate to bad.
No,
that's not what overrated
means.
Right. It just means that how people think of it is it's not that good.
Right. Yeah, the Joker movie, super overrated.
But it was a decent movie. I still enjoyed it. Yeah.
Is that an unpopular opinion? Maybe.
I mean, I haven't watched it. So
here's
that's
an unpopular opinion. The most overrated Disney movie is Lion King.
You had that conversation, and I do have to say I disagree.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
What?
That's what
I said. The biggest betrayal of all time.
Dude.
It was a huge betrayal when Shakespeare wrote it, too. But yes.
It's a classic betrayal.
Let's be clear. Disney movies, particularly the animated movies, aren't necessarily known for being the most original stories.
I would never try to say like it's bad because it's unoriginal. Absolutely not.
Dude, Scar should be in your top 10 villains.
And
period.
He
should be in your top 5.
He's top 3, really.
But Timon and Pumbaa should be in your top like 5 sidekicks.
Timon and Pumbaa are some of the most obnoxious characters ever written.
They're sidekicks!
But that's funny!
And it's the best like characterization of like those people in character form.
And be prepared.
It's a pretty good Greek chorus.
Yes, it is.
Wait, so how is this underrated?
Yes, so how
overrated?
Why do you think this is an overrated film?
Hakuna Matata. One of the most annoying songs ever written.
Oh my god.
Just Can't Wait to Be King. Sucks.
I'll give you that one.
It's fine.
One more point about this movie that even as a kid, I utterly detested about it. The whole message of the movie, right, is owning up to your mistakes. Is, you know, the whole thing with Mufasa dying and coming back, like owning up to that. So he does. Mm-hmm. He comes back to Pride Rock, and everyone immediately turns on him and hates him. And it's not until Scar reveals that he actually did it that everyone's like, oh yeah, we're on Simba's side. That is a horrible effing message to a kid. Why would you ever come clean about anything?
Well, I didn't think of it that way.
That's a terrible message.
The whole thing was like it was like misleading.
Again, it's
the
a problem
thing.
With it being based on Hamlet, which is its own issue.
Wait a minute, really? I'm sorry.
I guess, yeah. The whole Shakespearean thing. Okay, hey. just accept that nothing Disney does is actually an original story.
Yeah, like, no, it's just the story of Hamlet.
And adapt it. Yeah. But here's what I think of your opinion, Joe.
Sorry, man, it's not that good. Like really,
if I hold him, you can hit him.
Timon and Pumbaa were probably the best version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern outside of the movie version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Which is Stern, but yeah, it's
whatever.
It's a fair point. I'm just saying, I don't know that there's been that many good versions of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern to really compare that up to.
No, but I mean, they are in every version of Hamlet. Whether you go the extra mile and do the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern part of it,
but again,
for debate.
This isn't to say that I think The Lion King's a bad movie. It's just
overrated.
Like 90% of people say it's their favorite of all time, and it's not that good. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. What's the best Disney movie of all time in your opinion, Joe?
What's your Nate's overrated movie?
Yeah, I just went on a long tirade.
Let's hear Nate's overrated first.
Overrated, man. I'm gonna say Cinderella probably.
That's fighting words.
Is that a product of being from 1950? You think?
No, because I love Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and that's from 1937.
Yeah, 37.
I think you're right though. With Cinderella, I think Cinderella is one of those movies that everybody sees, like for the first Disney movie that they see. Granted, Snow White's the first one, but like,
right?
Cinderella is like iconic intro. for some reason. Yeah. Like, more so.
Princess that's like Disney World. It's our cat.
Snow White isn't as iconic as Cinderella is. It's because of the animation style. Like 37, that movie is the beginning of color animation.
Real blush on like her cheeks.
Right.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Color. Oh my gosh.
It doesn't hold up animation wise quite as well because of that. It just looks older. It's not a bad thing.
I will say the early princesses. In some ways, kind of irked me, and I had a teacher when I was younger.
Also, like Aurora, like Sleeping Beauty.
The whole idea of like needing someone to save you, thing.
Yeah,
that has only very recently started to be addressed in Disney films.
I think that's kind of why I have a hard time with it now. In 2020.
Well, that's another reason I think that Frozen got as popular as it did because everyone clung on to the fact when she's like, "You just met him and you want to marry him."
Yeah, well, that's kind of thing.
It's so important.
Very seldom. did the leading lady of those movies really carry the story very much. They just reacted to what happened in the story, usually. That's not until the 90s where the leading character really can help move the story forward.
Yeah, I think that started a bit with, like, you know, Little Mermaid and... Yeah.
By the way, best Disney movie is... You just said it.
Really?
I think Little Mermaid is one of the best ever.
I will say that is one of my favorite
villains. Hold on. You want to talk about messages that are messed up, right?
Not great messages?
Okay. I mean, she is 16.
Okay, like. But Ursula... No, hold on. Ursula basically laid out everything that would happen, right?
Yes.
And yet we're still supposed to believe that Ursula was the bad guy in all of this?
I never said she was, but she's still a bad person. She becomes a huge freaking mountain.
Yeah, defending herself because some little homewrecker came up out of the ocean and tried to steal her man.
She did the classic like gaslighting situation where she's like, I'm not going to tell you who I really am. I'm just going to disguise myself. And oh my God, you're going to fall in love with me. Here's a magic potion. You were going to do that. She's still a bad person. Like, yeah, she didn't just make Eric fall in love with him.
The whole thing is like, she wants to take over the Triton, too. Like, yes. It's not even just like.
I'm sorry that a woman wants to be in power. I forgot we can't have that. Damn.
Oh, never said that.
Damn.
That's fair. It's just the way she did it.
She could have
by all means necessary.
Man, you're right.
Yours,
I mean,
Ursula.
You're right. Ursula is the prime example of that glass ceiling. It is rough under the sea.
Okay, another reason why Elsa was a good character.
Queen of Fables knows all about that.
But that's another reason why Elsa was a good character, and so is Anna and Frozen 2, because
sure.
they are the women in power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yes!
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, like, I don't like the messaging and why it's important. I just don't. I think the story is just not as compelling as, like, so many other Disney movies.
Not to mention Sebastian and Flounder. Ugh, worst sidekicks ever.
Flounder's just nice.
Flounder sucks.
Flounder sucks. I like Scuttle fine. I like
Sebastian's
a little
okay.
bit.
Sebastian's all right.
He can wisecrack, but not much else.
He's your Zazu character.
Yeah.
I just don't know why he's the only one that has accent. Zazu is superior.
You know what? Zazu has been so ruined for me by the live action remake, and that kills me to say because I love John Oliver, but Zazu.
That really is too bad.
Sucked.
It could have been taken up like four more notches, and I would have probably appreciated it.
Yeah. He needed to over. I can't believe I'm saying this to John Oliver, but he needed to overreact.
Yeah. You already look like a bird, just do it.
You look like a parrot. You make jokes about it on your show every week.
Exactly.
He just needed to be a bit more of a like a British fop.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Like
instead
just
of a
overreact.
Flop.
So Nicole, what's your best Disney movie of all time?
Okay, so I thought about this last night because I've been thinking about it.
Okay,
it's really difficult. There's so many good movies.
And here's the thing: best or favorite? Because those are different answers.
No, I think I'm gonna go with best.
Wait, hold on. What was to you? What was The Little Mermaid? Is that favorite or best?
Best.
Yeah. Okay.
My favorite is Tangled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I love Tangled.
Me and Joe have that
Tangled's
as like a...
Tangled's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the best movie is Coco because of the animation.
I forgot about Coco. Coco's great.
I came home a few months ago to my girlfriend just
sobbing,
bawling her eyes out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is wrong?
Sarah and I were down in Florida. We got Coco, and we were both openly weeping.
I didn't know what she was doing or what had happened, and she was blubbering so bad she couldn't even get words out.
All she got out was Coco, and you're like...
Just nothing. She just dragged me back into the room and she sat down. She wasn't even finished watching it yet.
Here's my reason.
And I'm just like, it's a movie. Got you crying.
But this is the reason. So not only is the animation beautiful, like the color palette is astounding. The storyline is so good. They're talking about complex topics like a grandparent having dementia and like death and like having a child have to understand
and not having
death
a father.
Father. Those types of really complex things. And we also look at an amazing culture in a way that we haven't done before.
So I've never actually seen the movie, but I've seen
the scene beginning to end
kids got the guitar and brings it to the grandma. And I had a grandfather who had Alzheimer's. And it's really touching to see how it's portrayed.
it's so sad.
It's very well done. Very well done.
I think it's the best one ever yet. They have room to go with that, but just so good.
And on top of that, you know, the very little Mexican heritage I have, they did such a good job, showcasing that culture.
Yes.
Instead of just it being, a small part or, a little thing. No, it was very well represented.
Yeah.
That is exactly what, you know,
the research
I think
hours
of it when
that
my grandma told
it.
Me about, how kind of thing was, you know, celebrated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're talking about making the ride at the Mexican Pavilion in Epcot be Coco instead of the...
That would be great.
That would be a good change.
The Three Amigos was maybe one of the very first pieces of animation that I saw from Disney and still one of
it's
my favorites
one
to this
of the
day.
Earliest ones,
yes, it
too.
Is. Yeah.
So,
it is.
I mean, and it's been that ride forever. Them changing it would not, they're already incorporating a lot of the Coco stuff into the Mexican Pavilion, but so beautiful would that ride be? They've just talked about it a few times and who knows if it'll happen, but I would be all for it.
Yeah.
Chad, what about you?
She
best
got me.
Disney
best,
movie.
Sorry.
I just like to point out so far, everyone's opinions that I've heard, I've been okay with everyone's, except literally every one of Joe's has been trash.
Wait, so you're telling me Tangled's not a good movie?
It's his favorite movie.
It's my favorite movie.
My favorite movie as well.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
We're doing best, right?
Yeah, best.
I mean, Coco, you own me. Yeah, I'm kind of torn, but
I know.
I will say, because we mentioned the other day, and it's one of those movies that I just really liked, and it was also underrated.
Mm-hmm.
It was Big Hero 6.
Absolutely.
Oh,
that movie dealt with so many heartstrings right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
The beginning.
And that movie makes me cry hard.
It was like if Disney and anime came together, and it was like, that's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
It's a movie that I watch over and over.
And you think that's the best Disney
I want to say that's...
Up
if
there.
I'm,
it's
if
pretty
I'm
good.
To
I mean,
say,
it's, it is. It's really pretty good. I'm going to give you, it's pretty good.
I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's one of the better ones. And if I had to say, it'd probably go Coco, then Big Hero 6.
Story-wise. Yeah. If I'm going to say original, interesting story, yeah.
The characters in that were so good, too. Like,
sure.
You have some amazing, like, I don't want to call them backup characters or sidekicks, because, like, the whole team is, like, the team.
Supporting characters.
But they're really, really good, right? Yeah. They're really well done, and they all have very unique personalities. Just, loved it. And their outfits.
And, like, they're strong females, they're strong males. Yeah. It's like, there's no, like...
And you get a Stan Lee cameo at the end. Like,
That's right.
One of the best Stan Lee cameos.
Yeah,
What can go wrong? Well, I'm going to go ahead and piggyback right off of that because I have a similar one. And for me, the best Disney movie of all time after 10 years of culmination is definitely Avengers Endgame.
Can we even count? I mean, we can count. You absolutely can.
And if you want more of my hot superhero takes, make sure you're checking out my podcast, The Other Identity, which is done with co-host Ben Morris, formerly of Marvel. You guys can find that over at the website, checkpointxp.com.
Those hits again so he can just boo himself.
His drops have been on. What a plug.
Oh, but wait, but speaking of really good podcasts, since I mentioned the Epcot Pavilion, Epcot and all that stuff, the Theme Parks and Rec podcast, which is also on Bpod Studios, is all about Disney and like all that good stuff.
Hey, don't you hijack my plug. You make your own
plug. No, I made my own plug right here, right now. I took off of yours. Everyone was talking over top. It's fine. Now we just got all mine.
Not even my show.
You mentioned Stan Lee cameos, by the way. I do have to just give a shout out to Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which had the best Stan Lee cameo ever.
Okay, I refuse to see that movie.
Why?
Because I was already not a fan of the cartoon.
Oh, really?
Hated it.
Oh, I love the cartoon.
Hated it. I love Teen Titans.
I was total opposite. I hated the Teen Titans that took itself too seriously. Yes. The teen drama, the superhero drama. I was like, ugh. This does not measure up to Batman the Animated Series.
No, it didn't.
Very few things do, but I couldn't stand it.
They're continuing that in comic form, by the way.
I could not watch Teen Titans, but when they brought out Teen Titans Go, I was like, this is my jam. This is hilarious.
Okay,
but I never saw the movie.
Stan Lee cameos not once, but twice. And finishes
in a DC movie. That's awesome. That alone is fucking awesome.
He literally comes on screen and says, no one can tell me what to do. Excelsior. He leaves.
That's excellent. That is excellent.
Oh, so good.
All right, Nate.
Here's the thing. Robbie, no, hang on. Yeah. Hang on. Oh, okay. I'm not accepting that as an answer. You can't say. No, you can't.
Why?
You can't.
Why?
Because if you can say Avengers Endgame, then I can sit here and say Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
But you said
Star Wars.
No, good.
Yes,
we
can
agree animated, though. We did agree to talk about animated.
We said animated. And there's a.
I don't hate.
Sorry. I would say probably 30-40% of Avengers Endgame was animated. Does not meet the threshold.
Okay. If it's fine.
Animated.
If we're specifically talking animated,
which we are,
fine. You have to get back to me now that I'm going to take just a second.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So, I would say, because if he could say Endgame, I'm saying Empire Strikes Back because they own that now.
But they didn't make it.
It's not animated.
Mm, true, and I'm not saying 7, 8, or 9, so fair point.
Yeah. So I actually thought about this quite a bit, and my favorite Disney movie is The Black Cauldron.
I knew you were going to say that after I said I wouldn't.
It's a deep cut.
Black Cauldron's great, though.
Here's the thing. The reason that I like it is that I actually... I grew up watching Ralph Bakshi movies more than I watch Disney movies. So, you know.
Secret of Nim, baby.
He didn't do Secret of Nim, but he did the Hobbit adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did The Lord of the Rings, but I think he did The Hobbit. He also did, Wizards.
The Lord of the Rings, actually.
He might have.
I think he did.
Wizards was one of my all-time favorite movies ever. And I saw that when I was like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 years old. Fritz the Cat. The name of my cat is Fritz the Cat. That's how into Ralph Bakshi movies I am. But he developed a technique, an animation technique called rotoscoping, which he used a lot in his films. And they actually borrowed the rotoscoping technique for Black Cauldron. So it actually, when you watch it, it looks visually much more like a Ralph Bakshi movie than it does a Disney movie. But the other part of it is that you can actually see the cell animation, the drawing, the pen strokes in something like The Black Cauldron, because they did, it didn't quite get the budget that other movies did at that time.
And so, it also doesn't have that much notoriety behind it.
It doesn't, unfortunately. But
it's on Disney Plus, Chad.
I'll watch it.
it's kind of similar in tone to The Sword in the Stone, which is another one of my all-time favorites.
Fantastic.
Another one.
Fantastic villain, too,
yes.
In that movie. Oh, my God. Mad Madam Mim. Holy crap.
Yes. Mad Madam Mim.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic Sword in the Stone song that comes movie. With it. Great, great.
But I also, it's just that era.
The squirrel falls in love with him. That's weird.
Yes.
Hilarious.
That is, it's
that's a
super
weird part.
Super weird. But I love that era of animation. I love that era of Disney. You know, the Robin Hood.
Yep.
It's just, that's my favorite. Like, when you can still... I think computers in animation are awesome for the animators, and I understand why they use them.
Yeah.
I have always been a bigger fan of shows that utilize hand-drawn cell animation. Ed, and Eddy was my all-time favorite cartoon.
That's where D for me became really popular.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
But I know that that's a deep cut, and most people are going to disagree with me. But I just love Black Cauldron because I could watch it all day.
Yeah. So here's an interesting question to follow that up on.
Sure.
We're going to do best movie, best villain.
Well,
taking the song into account.
I have mine. I brought up a list here just to kind of stimulate my brain a little bit, and got reminded of a few.
Please say the Great Mouse Detective. I would love you to say that.
Oh.
For some reason, I didn't think that was Disney.
It is Disney.
It is Disney.
It is Disney.
Also on Disney Plus. That one has a weird place for me, so it's not that. But I was reminded of Fox and the Hound. Atlantis was another
Fox
good one.
And
oh, Atlantis was a
Atlantis was great.
I loved Atlantis. Michael J. Fox was the main character,
right?
Yes.
They had a good cast in that. Actually, if you look at the cast, it's crazy.
What I'm actually going to go with, and for similar reasons that you had brought up with Coco and some of the topics that they had tackled in that. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Good one.
Deals with toxic relationships recognizing when you're holding someone back or hurting someone and having to let them go.
Yes. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is brutal.
Did not end the way that I honestly thought it would. It ended the way I wanted it to, but did not think they were actually going to pull that trigger on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, John C. Reilly's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And in an era of when are they going to make the first good video game movie, I think Wreck-It Ralph is one of the first movies that takes on that challenge of making a video game movie, not as an adaptation, trying to adapt a game, but just taking that culture of video games and actually making something really good and really original.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, years from now, it'll be considered a classic.
You brought up Atlantis, and that actually reminded me of one of my other favorite Disney movies that flies under the radar a lot, and that's Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet. Who's the voice actor for the guy?
That's a good question.
I know it. I know he's a very popular actor, I think.
One of the reasons that I really liked it
because he's in everything Disney.
Right.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
See, I knew it.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yes. He's
really?
The main guy.
I don't remember.
Is his name Jack? I want to say the guy's
Jim Hawkins.
That's a long.
I was close, y'all.
Brian Murphy's also in it. David Hyde Pierce, Emma Thompson, Martin Short.
Great cast.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's a long.
Excellent. Excellent cast.
That came out in 2000?
2002.
Close.
Wow. Yes. And actually used a whole bunch of music from the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
one of the trailers.
One of the reasons it set out or stood out to me rather. But yeah, I love that movie. I owned it on DVD. It used to be in the rotation
for you,
of movies
Joe,
that I used to fall asleep to.
Ron Clements and John Musker had also had pitched this concept for the film at the exact same time that they had pitched The Little Mermaid to Disney.
Treasure Planet, you mean?
Yeah.
Is that right?
1989.
No kidding.
Fun fact.
Wow.
Did they also, there's another, I'm trying to think what the movie is, but there's another movie that they've been pitching for a long time and it finally got made a couple years ago. I'll remember it later on at my desk, but that's beside the point.
I don't know. Well, you know what? As far as like favorite character goes, I know we mentioned villain, but this is like one of my favorite, like, and it's the dumbest character in the world, but still makes me laugh to this day because, I don't know, childhood memories or something. His Kronk.
Emperor's
New Groove.
That's a good movie, too.
It's a great movie. That character is as... And the voice actor, I can't remember his name.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, yes. Like,
who's in like
I
so
don't
much.
Know why. I just love that character. The back and forth that he has with anybody.
You want to talk about iconic, like, sidekick sort of characters?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, and the reason he still makes you laugh today is because he gets memed every day still.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pull
all
the
coming
leather.
Together.
Kronk. Wrong lever. Yeah. And well, that's Eartha Kitt, right?
The yeah, it's
Eartha Kitt.
It is.
Amazing.
It is.
Amazing woman. Did you know she was a singer?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think my favorite thing about Emperor's New Groove is when Kuzo gets included in the list of Disney princesses.
Oh my God.
That's phenomenal.
I just love that. I absolutely love that.
Emperor Kuzco.
All right. So there you go. You got a pretty good feel for what our favorite Disney movies are. But coming up, we're going to talk about some of the live action adaptations. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint AFK.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Hey, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you go follow us over on Twitch, twitch.tv/checkpointAFK. We do episodes of this show live on Fridays, coming to you a little bit earlier today because all of us have work to do today. So
I don't think any of us are going to be in the building after 3. We all have somewhere to be.
Yeah. No, I will be.
Sorry. Yeah.
I will also be.
You'll at least be out on Monday like the rest of us.
That's
yes.
True. I'll probably still end up leaving early because I'm getting close to how many hours I'm allowed to be.
Oh, I remember. GTFO. I remember those days. All right. So one of the things that Disney has been doing within the last, you know, 5-10 years has been doing live action adaptations
of everything
of their animated movies. And it, you know, like it did it. It started with Maleficent, didn't it?
Technically, no. Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, I was
the first
say,
one.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Which was really good.
I
the
thought
first one. Yeah.
Wait.
Yes.
I could have sworn Maleficent came out before Alice.
Double
in Wonderland.
Check it, but I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Alice in Wonderland was the first one because I think that came out in like 2010.
It was, yeah. With Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just say I hate the fact that that has received sequels like that. That wasn't.
To be fair, they're basing off the books, which do have sequels.
That wasn't part of the deal. Disney, you said you were doing remakes, and I said okay, and then you threw us a curveball with Maleficent, and I loved Maleficent.
Maleficent, did even you? The second one's not so, as good, but it's still beautifully
good. It's good.
Guys, no, the first one back in 1994, The Jungle Book.
What?
Oh.
Well, there's been another Jungle Book.
There has been like four. Like yep. as
they also did the live action 101 and 102 Dalmatians.
Yep, you're right. That was in the 90s.
Oh, that was with Glenn Close.
Yeah, yes. That one.
But when we think of the more modern, you know, 2000s, yes, Alice in Wonderland was the first one in 2010. Maleficent was 2014.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I remember seeing that a little bit way older, actually. Like, I mean, going to theater.
And you could all, I mean, this isn't a remake, but you could also, what's the one where it starts off in the animated world and she comes to the real world?
Oh, Enchanted.
Enchanted.
I think it's 2008
or
2009. Yeah, because that's Patrick Duffy and Amy Anna.
That was a story. It's not a remake.
Yeah, it was an original.
Which they still count her in some of, like, not official Disney princesses, but they count her character as, like, a Disney
Giselle?
Princess.
Oh, really?
Giselle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
I like that.
You know, I actually haven't seen very many of the live-action remakes.
Really?
Yep. So, saw Alice in Wonderland, saw Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
Yep.
Did you see Cinderella?
And Maleficent. I have not, no.
Okay, Cinderella came out before Beauty and the Beast,
it did.
Too.
It did,
which
yeah.
I saw in college.
Yeah.
Went to the movie theater.
Yep. So I'm actually surprised I haven't seen Aladdin yet, because that's actually one of my favorite
Disney
movies.
Who played Cinderella?
Her name is Lily James. She was just in... Oh, goodness. I'm not, she was in the Mamma Mia remake that they just had. She's been in some other stuff, too.
Let me
can't
look
remember.
That up.
But
Lily
she's,
James.
Yeah. She's a really good actress. I like her. But Richard Madden was in it as the prince. So that's why I went to see it, because my best friend was, like, obsessed with him. And
I forgot Cate Blanchett was the stepmom.
And she was
such
fabulous.
A good stepmom.
She's
you just hated her so much.
Was she Hella
villain.
And Thor right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett is an acting tour. De force.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, she's one of those
amazing.
People, like, no matter when I see him, I'm like, even if she's not, like, the bad guy, for some reason, I'm just like, oh, there's something about
can
you.
Can I tell you my favorite Cate Blanchett role ever? She was in a movie called, oh my God, I'm blanking on the movie, but it was,
womp womp.
It was a series of stories that sort of, like, told some of the stories around Bob Dylan's life. And she played Bob Dylan in one of them. And because it has a whole bunch of a variety of actors.
I'm not there.
That's the one, yes. And she was awesome. It was amazing.
Yeah, looking at the pictures, wow.
Right. Yeah, yeah. She plays a goddamn great Dylan.
So Lily James, apparently, from Cinderella, immediately made Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Yeah,
She was also in
Baby Driver,
which was
a great film.
Oh, I loved Baby Driver.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay. I keep... That's one of those movies.
Edgar
that, like,
Allen, man, or Edgar Wright. Sorry, I will say Edgar Allen.
Edgar Allen Wright.
Yeah,
okay.
Edgar Allen Wright.
Yeah,
he's got
he wishes.
A crow instead of a raven.
No, Edgar Wright. I don't see anything that he makes. But yeah, no. So I mean, can we start with like? I feel like Beauty and the Beast has actually been kind of like the beginning of this run of remakes.
It is.
As much as they've done like Maleficent, I think Beauty and the Beast was the first.
Beauty and the Beast was good, but this is, I think, the dangerous precedent that it set for the remakes going forward, because now Lion King was also, they obviously tried to stay very true to it, and I think it's the reason why people are so upset about Mulan now, is Beauty and the Beast, almost like shot for shot,
It's pretty close.
There's one scene
where the Beast has his own song that's not in the anime.
There's two new songs,
but from the musical.
Yeah.
Right.
Which they did the same thing with Cinderella.
It's
the one that the father sings,
yeah.
right? Yeah, that one.
See, I definitely like the idea more of, instead of just remaking the cartoons into live action, reimaginings of what the original story is supposed to be. I am hyped for Mulan.
Me too.
That looks so epic.
Yeah, yeah, to your question, Cinderella had Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
That was it. Okay, I was trying to remember. There's a song.
They do have a song in that one as well. She sings like a song about, she has a song that she sings specifically that like her dad used to sing to her as well. But that's besides the point. Okay.
No, but Mulan looks phenomenal. Yeah. It looks like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be any more into that.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's the thing is, like, some of these movies, I think it does make sense to have them be kind of like remakes. Like, you're going to tell me that you're going to do Beauty and the Beast and not do Be Our Guest in the Enchanted Ballroom? Of course you're going to do that.
Right.
You have to show that scene. But whereas you take a movie like Mulan, where I don't think there are as many, like, one-to-one, like, you have to do this moment or you're wasting the movie. Like, Mulan is a cool, interesting story in and of itself that you can tell a different way, and that's fine. I think that
you don't need a talking dragon.
You don't
need a song.
And
you already have it going on.
You don't have the music songs, in the background,
period.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when it's happening, montage, but you don't need that actual song. Maybe the music behind it. I don't know.
I'm just really excited to see it.
So, I know Aladdin was very divisive among fans.
Well, and it just got the green light for two today or yesterday.
Sarah and I loved the remake of Aladdin.
Really? I wouldn't say I loved it, but it was like, I watched it on the plane, and I was just like, I don't know why everyone was shitting on this.
Exactly why everyone was shitting on it. Because of Robin Williams.
Which sucks because Will Smith does a great job as Genie.
That's the thing too. I think just in what in what I've seen, they don't try to replicate.
No, he's like his own interpretation.
And I think Will Smith said he's like, I'm not gonna do that. Like, he can't be Robin Williams.
Yeah. He is way closer to the Fresh Prince than he is to Robin Williams.
Like, which is funny. It worked in this instance.
It did. It was
and like
really
it worked
good.
With the character. Like, he had a good riff with the I'm sorry, I don't know the guy's name that played Aladdin.
I still don't know how I feel about sexy Jafar, though.
Jafar was the only part that I thought was weaker.
They were always trying to make Jafar sexy, though, even in the animated movie.
I
think Jafar wanted himself to be sexy, but I don't think anyone else saw him.
Okay, maybe I'll give you that.
Just goes, but you're so old.
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't even look old in that.
No, he did.
I don't think that was probably my one thing about the movie. I would say is Jafar was the weakest link.
No,
because I think there could have been a better Jafar.
There are two
profile.
There are
not.
There are two problems.
What are you into? Look at that face. He's like.
Ecstatic.
Like, come on.
Listen. Okay, no.
Man,
I gotta redeem
what are your plans for Valentine's Day?
Shut up. I gotta redeem myself here. Hold on. Wait a minute. If we're gonna talk about the most attractive
character, you know what? Joe was up here for bad opinions, and now you're like right here. You better
Flynn Rider. Flynn Rider is gorgeous.
I'm just gonna. Yeah, that's the most attractive Disney character for me is Flynn Rider. So, no, Jafar's not the best.
So, here's the two problems with the Aladdin live action remake. And if you have these problems with the movie, that's a fine opinion. You're welcome to have that. It doesn't ruin the movie. The problem is, Jafar is not nearly as good as the original Jafar, and Iago is not voiced by Gilbert Gottfried. Those are the two things that are missing from that movie.
Although, have you heard Gilbert Gottfried speak in the last 5 years?
Yeah, it's not happening. It
There's
have
a reason why.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have worked.
What's wrong with him?
He just has old man voice now.
He really does.
Like, so
it would not have held up well.
He didn't have old man voice before?
No.
Well, he did.
It was a different old man voice before.
So now is it more crotchety?
It's more phlegmy.
Yeah, it's not as good.
It's
you think he's like smoking a bunch or something?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. But he also hosts a radio show now too.
He does.
So it's like,
no, I mean,
so
still iconic.
It has been greenlit for a sequel.
Yep,
they have confirmed that it's not going to be based on either of the animated sequels.
Oh, the third one was good. Okay.
I don't remember it.
40 Thieves was fine. No, you're right. Aladdin the 40 Thieves was fine.
I like the movie.
I thought it's King of Thieves.
I'm sorry. It's
with
based
the
on the 40
with
Thieves.
The dad.
Yeah. I like when they have TV
that's the
show.
One. Yep. That's the one where Robin Williams came back.
Yeah. Okay. The second one had Homer Simpson as the genie.
Dan Castellaneta. That's right. I forgot
the
about that.
Wait, I remember.
He sucks.
I don't remember the story, but I'm trying to remember why Robin Williams was mad because of Aladdin. Because
they were going to pay him $5 and a hoagie.
No, it was about how he was perceived. He said he didn't want the genie to be like the star of like something. And during the trailers, I think they did make him the star of it, and he was upset by that.
Well, and there were two problems
with
it.
I might be wrong.
I don't think he wanted him to be the main character, which is true. The pay was garbage, and it was also leading into a TV series. Remember, the movie was the opening of the TV series. So, which ran for a whole season.
The movie didn't release in theaters at all.
Neither did the third one.
Right, those were all direct to DVD and direct to VHS. I don't even think they had VHS then.
No, they didn't.
It was all DVD.
Direct to VHS.
You sure?
Yeah, I have Return of Jafar on VHS.
Oh, you're right. I do too. I do. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know about The King of Thieves. That one might.
No, I have that one. I have that one on VHS.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
That we got at Costco.
But I thought Aladdin was pretty good, and then Lion King.
I've not seen it. I have no desire.
I wasn't thrilled with it.
It left me in a tough spot because I don't love the original Lion King. So I'm like, maybe I'll appreciate this one more than others do.
No, I
thought it sucked.
The problem that you run into with the Lion King, and this isn't even new to the Lion King, because do you guys remember a movie called Milo and Otis?
I do remember.
I think might have been the first movie I ever saw in theaters as a kid.
Yeah,
but the problem with it is that when you use real animals, there's no emotion.
They don't emote.
It's the same problem you have with live action Cyclopses. There's no emotion.
Yeah, they had that problem with Jungle Book too when they remade the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
They didn't have.
I liked the Jungle Book remake, but I hear what you're saying.
It's just not as.
Which is weird because I saw Kong Skull Island again over the weekend, and they made Kong so expressive in that.
Yeah, they did, actually. Kong was really good.
It was, and I was like, God damn, like, they really, like, got all of the physicality everything.
I think in the instance of Kong, it depends on the animators, first of all. When you have just one that you have to focus on, right, you can put a lot more into it than when you have to worry about literally the entire cast.
It makes me wonder, would it have been different if he spoke?
I'll say this. In my defense of loving the new Jungle Book remake, it's purely on Christopher Walken playing King Louie and singing "I Want to Be Like You."
Why is that the only song in the movie, too? By the way,
because Christopher Walken, and they wanted like just we don't want you to sing it.
Just say "Ooh
like,
You."
Yeah, like "Ooby Doo." I want to be like you.
You know what I bet it was? I bet they're like no songs at all, but Christopher Walken's like, nope, I want that one.
I'm not doing it if I can't sing the song. And they're like, Chris, Chris, you don't want to sing it.
Walk out that door.
You're right. I don't.
Walking out that door.
I think after Christopher Walken did hairspray, he's like,
true, man cub. Clue me what to do.
I will say the funniest part of Hairspray, I'm going off track because you mentioned it, but
just
Michelle Pfeiffer and him like together.
That's the funniest part, not John Travolta in a woman's like fat suit?
No. it was funny-ish, but like, I mean, I see like drag a lot, so I mean, it's lost to me. But like those two characters, sorry, I'm going off tirade. They're great.
So,
great scene.
Let me ask you a question about The Lion King, right?
The remake,
yeah. Okay. Someone, presumably, sat in the boardroom or wherever they made this decision and said, we are going to bring back, we're going to have Scar in it, obviously. He's one of the main characters.
Yeah.
And we're going to take Be Prepared and we're going to sing one fucking verse of it.
Yeah, I don't.
Who greenlit that idea?
That's a Bob Iger for you.
We're going to do the entirety of Just Can't Wait to Be King. But one verse of Be Prepared.
Well, the one song is really recognizable, too.
Yeah. And I don't know why they... My biggest thing with Lion King, and I think this is to say about all of the remakes, they're going too fast. They're going way too fast in making them. Like, that movie could have been...
Yeah, you're getting
to
a year.
Right. That movie could have been better. And if they'd taken the time, it probably would have been better. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
But I don't... I agree
well, it
with
wasn't
you.
Cats. A lot, certainly.
It wasn't Cats. You're actually right.
Here's the guess that I have for you on why they shortened up Be Prepared, right? Because I don't think they can...
they didn't have Jeremy Irons?
I don't think they can completely take it out, right? People love that song too much.
Well, because that was the original
suggestion.
Right. Yeah, was that it wasn't going to be
that it wasn't
a part of the
be
movie.
In there. I think that in focus groups, there were too many straight white males that were really digging that song, so they had to find like a happy medium. Right?
I mean, maybe. I'll tell you what.
They're like, we don't want the Nazis to start liking our shit again.
I understand. I did not expect them to have the Third Reich Nazi hyenas goose stepping down the way anymore. I expected them to take that out, but you didn't have to can the whole song.
You know what? They erred on the side of caution.
They surely did.
That. I can
Wait, like that. So you remind me from the original movie.
Yes.
Did Timon and Pumbaa break the fourth wall in the original movie?
No.
Because they do it frequently in this one, and it really bugged me.
They might have done it in the show.
In the shows, they did a lot.
Okay. Because they did it in the remake. And it really bugged me. I'm like, sorry, you're not Deadpool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the other thing about clout. The Lion King was it's like, okay, you have a tremendous cast. You have a really good cast.
Yeah, a great cast.
Did you utilize them at all?
No.
Like, realistically speaking, did we utilize the people that we had? Like, you got, what's his name, to come back? What's his name? Oh, my God, I'm blanking.
James Earl Jones.
Thank you. James Earl Jones to come back.
I wish Jeremy Irons to come back.
Right. You got James Earl Jones to come back and didn't really
You didn't do much
him?
With that.
Yeah.
How was Rafiki so boring this time around?
Yeah, he was such an animated, he was animated, but he's an animated character in the sense of like just out, like just being ostentatious. So.
I don't know. So if we're going to talk about like, it's not a remake, but like a reinterpretation, I want to know how y'all felt about Maleficent. I haven't seen the second one, to be fair. I
liked it.
I liked it.
Really? I liked it a lot.
Yeah, okay. I didn't mind it, but my problem with it is I loved, one thing about Maleficent when I get really excited about this is like, they're really going to focus on how like villainous and kind of rather evil she is. She doesn't change in the movie, the original, at all.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back, because one thing about that I was hoping for on Maleficent is that they would explore more of why she was the villain of Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Because when you go back to the original fairy tale of it, they literally, the godmothers, the three fairies, warned them, like, you cannot snub the queen.
Right.
She's going to be really mad, and they do it anyway.
Yep.
And guess what? She shows up, and she's really mad.
Kind of what they do in the second one. The second one's, it's okay. They changed the guy who played the prince, which was weird. But the whole second movie is kind of that, where they're like, hey, we know that this woman is who she is. Don't piss her off.
You cannot,
and they did it anyway.
Because apparently, obviously, we don't really have a lot of context for it today, but in the times that was written, having, you know, the introduction of the princess and not being invited to that is a huge snub. Like, that isn't something you would
offensive.
Go to war over
like,
in that era.
I don't know. I just think it was...
This Maleficent, the first one, is more... I don't know. I agree with you. I was not sure on the concept when I first saw it, but I do like it. I like
the
fact that
it's a fine movie. I like the character in turn. I just don't like the fact that it's Maleficent.
I loved it being Angelina Jolie, though.
Yeah.
I thought she
Angelina
looked phenomenal.
Jolie,
yeah.
Perfect casting, so I was super excited going into this. And they're like, let's give her, like, super crazy heart and change the story to the point where it's, like, has nothing to do with the original at all.
That was the one thing I did like about it, though, because, like, you get the dad as the villain now.
Yeah.
Like, the dad
which,
is the villain.
Which is fine. I would like that interpretation, but they didn't, like, I wish it was more like, Wicked's the bad example because it's also a loose interpretation, but like where you see
Wicked's
Elphaba.
Amazing though.
Yeah, I know, but you see Elphaba's side of things, but the story of Wizard of Oz still happens in the background, so it's not like they change anything necessarily. They changed the entire thing of this one, and it just felt weird.
I saw Wicked for my first time just last winter, and the sequence near the end where Dorothy is like screaming to let me out, and like Elphaba shows up on stage like, God, what a drama queen. I just want the shoes.
Okay, listen, I'm about to blow your mind. So when I was like 8, when the show first went out,
Wicked came out,
I actually got to go see it with Idina Menzel and Christian Chenoweth.
Wow.
So like, I don't remember much of it, but I've seen it like 8 times. So like the fact that I got to see it with like the icons.
That's
crazy.
Broadway's Frozen is coming to Detroit next year.
So in a couple of days, like on the 24th, you can get like the season passes. There's so much good stuff coming to Broadway and Detroit.
Both Mean Girls and Frozen
Hairspray
are all here next year.
The Temptations musical is all of them. Hamilton's coming back.
Trip.
I'm so excited.
I did see, you know what? I saw Hamilton, what was that, 2 years ago? We saw it around the same time.
Hamilton's back next year, too.
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago. Yeah. It was really good.
It's really good.
It was a lot of fun.
That's another AFK episode right there.
Yeah.
Did you see they're also releasing a video of the original Hamilton production?
Via Disney.
Via Disney.
Yes.
I was like, thank you.
Nailed it.
See that. Getting
Jonathan
that day
Groff.
One.
By the way, one thing I did want to circle back to, Robin Williams, the reason that he fell out with Disney, they didn't pay him his $8 million.
And it was something about the money.
Yeah, it was he usually had an $8 million fee to be in anything. He took scale on the caveat that they couldn't use the genie or his voice sell the film.
That's what it was. I remember that part of it.
And then he recorded 30 hours worth of tape.
Yep.
And they were like,
they used it for everything.
Well... Yeah, like Disney was like, well, we have the performance, so
they used it
That's what it was.
Do you know how much
shady,
of that movie?
Shady.
You know how much that movie had to get reanimated after Robin Williams sat down and,
yeah,
and did it?
Yeah,
recording?
Because he did ad-libs. 30 hours worth of fucking material, yep. And like,
and
they were like, we have to use some of this because it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really
Who
good.
Who else said? Oh, Tom Hanks just talked about how much you have to do in animated films too, because he was on the couch with oh my god, the British guy who does the talk show.
Oh,
Graham, no, Graham Norton.
Yes,
oh. He was on the Graham Norton couch with, and Tom Holland was there, and he was talking about all the things that you have to do and the amount of voice inflection that you have to do for is insane. So I can't imagine having somebody as talented as Robin Williams in a booth and be like, just go.
I mean, we've talked to voice actors in the video game industry a whole bunch who are like, yeah, sometimes my day is just going into the booth and going, ha! Boo!
Yep.
For like 5 hours.
Vin Diesel as Groot, though, having to do so many, like, oh my god.
How many times do you have to say Groot? Get tired of that.
There is subtext for every, anytime Groot talks,
it's different.
James Gunn actually has like what he's saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and every time Vin Diesel says it, like he says every single line. It's not just, he doesn't just cut it amount of times and they just pick the one they want.
Right.
He cuts it for everything, and I think, I'd have to double check on this, but I think that Vin Diesel actually does the lines for a few other languages as well.
I think he does. I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know he speaks a few other languages.
Yeah. So like Bradley Cooper, I think, only does Rocket in English, right? So the Russian one, some other dude. But I think Vin Diesel actually does it for other.
I am great for all the different languages. That's interesting.
It's bizarre when I see Rocket and I hear him. I can't even conjure Bradley Cooper.
There was an interview
Vin Diesel until like a few years ago.
There was an interview where he talked about that as well, where he's like, I still sometimes like look at it. And it's weird, but I'm getting to a point now where I see it, and that's just me and my kids too. When they see it, they're like, "There's Daddy."
You know what? I'd have to see. I'd have to see footage of him doing the voice to be able to connect it.
Probably. Yeah.
Like it's weird because I can't connect him to.
I love actors who do that though.
Me
like
too.
When or either transform their performance or face or whatever to the point where I don't recognize him anymore.
Andy Serkis.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never realize he's in anything until you point it out. I'm like, oh shit.
It's really fun.
So, I looked it up. Vin Diesel also does Groot in Spanish, Mandarin, and French.
Yeah. Okay, it is my new
multi-Groot.
Like dream in life to just
see.
Yo
soy Groot.
Yeah. Me, I'm a Groot. Like, I need to see that. But, like, anytime you see the documentaries for Batman the Animated Series, whenever they show Mark Hamill in the recording booth and they have recordings, like, it's wild watching his face change and how much he emotes the character. He's like, and he talks about it. He's like, you know what, when I was working on the Joker, the biggest thing for me, of course, is the Joker laugh. It's important, but not to just have one standard Joker laugh. He's got all kinds of different laughs and sounds that he does. I'm like, I love that.
I love hearing about the way that voice actors work. I was watching a thing yesterday about...
Speaking of,
yes.
Did you know that when he does his voice lines for Groot, Vin Diesel actually wears stilts?
No.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
That just seems unnecessary.
I mean, it kind of goes back to me and you.
Yeah, he
when
says,
we talk
I,
about,
I needed to see what it felt like to be a 7.5-foot tree.
Yeah, me and you, Nicole, recently both found out roughly around the same time for no reason that Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas
is Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
Really?
And I found out she sang that
That's
song
wild.
And I was like, I don't hear her
at all
in that character.
Well, now that I actually went back and saw it and I was like, okay, I can see her now as she's talking.
Yeah.
But not knowing was really
cool.
Yeah,
because usually her characters are very obnoxious, so I expect that obnoxious character, but this one's more like
Moira on Schitt's Creek is the most obnoxious character in the world.
Which I love that character. That's a different show.
No, I was just actually watching a video about the way that Bob's Burgers does their voice line
Linda
I love that actor. Oh my god,
hilarious. I love that show. But apparently the way that most voice lines are recorded are you bring in the actor separately into the mm-hmm. voice booth. Well, they have actors that are in both LA and New York, and so doing like a table read situation wouldn't work. So what they have to do, they have to use an ISDN to connect the two studios together, and they're sometimes like riffing lines back and forth. And like,
who's in New York?
That's a good question.
Is it H. John Benjamin?
It might be H. John Benjamin.
Mitt or Dan Mitz?
It might be. Because I know that...
Or Kristen Schaal.
No, Kristen Schaal's in L.A.
That makes sense.
I know Kristen Schaal's in L.A. Because she does, like, weekly performances at like, this comedy club.
Yeah.
Who would be in New York? I think you might be right. It might be H. John Benjamin.
Well, it's just surprising because, like, what else would he be doing there? I mean, I wonder if they were recording, if he had to record that when he was doing Archer as well. Because
maybe.
Well, that's, I mean, he does a lot. And I if I'm not mistaken, he might own his own ISDN box. So he might even have a room for it himself.
I'll have to find the TikTok for you, Nicole. Because
yes.
There's a TikTok where it's just a guy who sounds a lot like Linda from Bob's Burgers and then just like shows things and then
is
like
it the
reacts
art studio?
To it.
Is it the, where he's in the art room? Or he's
there's
at,
the art room one
yeah.
and he goes to a store.
Oh
it's
God.
Like there's a ton of them. So it's spot on.
You can always send me TikToks.
I will send you tons of TikToks.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our discussion here today. I hope you have enjoyed our conversation about Disney. Nicole, thank you very much for being our special guest today. We appreciate it. Make sure you check out CheckpointXP.com. That's where you can find out more info about the shows, interviews from past episodes. By the way, whole new website. If you haven't checked out CheckpointXP.com's brand new look, Chad is the man to thank for that. It is awesome. Make sure you go check out our brand new redesign website, checkpointxp.com. As Robbie had mentioned, he's got a couple of shows, revamped shows up there as well. The Other Identity now with brand new co-host Ben Morse, as well as The Owl's Nest. And we haven't talked at all about The Owl's Nest on here.
I don't think we have. Yeah, so Owl's Nest obviously focuses on Overwatch and the Overwatch League, and my new co-host is none other than the Jake Rat himself, Jake Lyon, formerly of the Houston Outlaws, turned caster. As we finish this recording, Weird Beard should be out there finishing up production on this week's episode. Comes out every Friday, just in time to get your fill leading into the weekend for Overwatch action.
There you go. Make sure you check that out over at our website, checkpointxp.com, as well as on YouTube as well. So, yes, that's all available for you at the freshly redesigned checkpointxp.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and review like Steve OK Cape Cod and Reverse Gremlin did today. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, Joe Sloan, Chad Callahan, Weird Beard 2. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
I was waiting.
CountryCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.